Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his wonderful name together. I come to tell you, we come to exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on today, and I pray that your day is just filled with nothing but the blessings of the Lord. I hear the scripture said, the blessings of the Lord will make us rich and add no sorrow. Well, I want you to know we have a wonderful lesson on today that we'll be talking about, and that's going to be wealth of wise choices. I tell you, we're living in times now that we need to look at making those right choices, which is going to invoke and bring forth the blessings of God, I tell you. So why don't you grab your Bible, come right on in and make yourself right at home, and we're just going to move forward in what the Lord has for us on today. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come right now in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We ask that you bless each and every one of our hearers and our listeners, that, Lord, that you will bless them. They have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to their church. I pray that you will empower them and endow them with great wisdom and great understanding as we impart the wonderful word of God into their hearts on today. Father, we take this time to bind the adversary and the emissaries of the adversaries and every evil forces that will come up and try to attack even the airways. And we declare, Lord, that the airways will be given over unto you, that there will be a word for thy people, meat and, Lord, manna, fresh manna for your people on today. And, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And so on today, we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter number 3, verses 7 to 13, and then 1 Kings chapter number 12, verses 6 to 8. And it reads on this line, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitudes. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thy long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked life for thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall may any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the king like unto thee all thy days. 1 Kings 12, verses 6 through 8. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servant forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men that which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Finally, the last scripture that I will read It would be Proverbs chapter number 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. So let's take a look at this word for today. Now, when we often face with overwhelming situation in life, the challenge looks too great. The mountains look too high. The mission field seems too big. Situations like this require wisdom. We need to know how to acquire it and what it is. Young Solomon may not have known what wisdom was, but he knew where to get it. Regardless of our opportunities or challenges, we can all go to the same source of wisdom. Now let's take a look at Solomon on today. Solomon's wise choice. Let's take a look at his wise choice so that we can understand and gain greater wisdom ourselves. King Saul unwisely forced on his own image. He stood head and shoulders above the people and developed the opinion he was head and shoulders above his own laws. Solomon, however, came to the throne in an attitude that provides a refreshing contrast to that of Saul. Rather than seeing himself as superior to the people, he admitted to God, "I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and to come in," 1 Kings 3 and 7. This is the starting point of humility, knowing who we are in the perspective to God and others. Young fools bully their way into life thinking that they have all the answers. Wise youth, however, take note of those who have come before and honor those who they serve. And that's very, very critical as we look at this, even in the time in which we're living in, and think that it is honorable and it is wise for us to be able to take note from those that have came before us and to honor those who, whom we serve. We serve up under each other. God has ordained it that we serve one another. Now let's look here. Choose wisdom. Now, Solomon could have asked for the world renown, to be world renowned. He could have asked for riches or superpower or long life. Instead, he asked for wisdom, something that would benefit everyone, not just himself. How Solomon responded in this dream visitation from God revealed his inner self. Dreams sometimes reveal the substance of our heart. If violence or lust fill our heart, our dream may produce the same. If love and truth and evangelism fill our heart, probably that will dominate our dreams as well. Now, Solomon's dream held spiritual significance. He had to interact with God and made a decision that would affect the rest of his life and the lives of those under his rule. Our relaxed decision not only have the potential to affect the rest of our lives, but they also indicate our heart's desire. Seeing a person drop a $20 bill on the ground at the gas station can prompt a deceitful heart to wait until the person leaves and then retrieve the lost cash. A pure heart would jump without thinking over it and say, "Excuse me, you dropped some money." Solomon responded to God. Showed a pure heart. Solomon's request for wisdom revealed he already had a measure of wisdom. Consequently, God gave him even more wisdom. Now, let's take a look at that. Receive God's added blessing. Now, Solomon's choice to please God, and he not only gave Solomon wisdom, but he also gave him unprecedented riches and honor as well. One's motive for getting wisdom must be pure. Wisdom is not given to us to gain advantage over others, but to enable us to assist others in a godly life. Wisdom may bring wealth, but we do not pursue wisdom to be rich. Riches often blinds a person from making wise choices, just as happened with Solomon in this disappointing end. Wisdom may bring wealth, but wealth does not bring wisdom. Wisdom may bring prestige, but prestige do not make one wise. Value forged in the valley must direct mountaintop action. So let's take a little further and look at Rehoboam and his foolish choice. Let's take a look at that. Unfortunately, Solomon did not pass his wisdom on to his son, Rehoboam. Even though he addressed many of the proverbs to his son, Rehoboam grew up in luxury but overlooked what gave his father such success. Perhaps he never read his father's proverbs. Some young people tend to discard the golden rules to chase after the chrome and sparkles of the decaying world as opposed to seeking out wisdom and understanding of how that was actually attained. Now, let's look how they consulted the elders. Now, when the elders approached Rehoboam with the need to lower the burden, apparently, of excessive tax being collected from the people, the new king mulled over his response. 3 days later, he answered, revealed his woeful lack of empathy for the common man. He looked at the elders and frowned at their out-of-date style and thinking and smugged in his confidence that money moved things. Now, peers, instead of adhering to what the elders was trying to tell them. Now, like a person asking what is the head from someone who cannot see beyond the tails of his nose, the new king asked for a long-term direction from those without perspective or experience. Now, it's very key and critical for us to begin to gain our wisdom and instruction from those that have already gone and paved the way and asking them questions and speaking unto them. What did it take for you to get there? What can we do, amen, and get that wisdom and all that getting, get understanding of how things even came about will also give you a backdrop of where you're getting ready to go or what need to be put in place when you even get there, because some things may not look relevant, is totally relevant, because without those things in places, will not be able to move forward. Now, let's look further. Now, these peers that Rehoboam went to his peers instead of going to his elders shared his misguided value, luxury, and indulgence, and had skewed their thinking. They wanted more money as much as Rehoboam wanted. They advised him to increase the burden of the people higher than ever before, and he did. Now, let's look at this made decision of doom. Now, in the end, Rehoboam's lust for more left him with less. 10 tribes seceded from his kingdom, leading only Judah and Benjamin. Wisdom has perspective. It has the vision of the end result of each action. And that is very, very, very critical. Again, wisdom has perspective. Now, foolishness and foolish thinking only of the immediate goal. Foolishness is the donkey galloping up the oak from the trough and not knowing where the next scoop will come from. Wisdom is the farmer plowing out a field, sowing and harvesting and storing up the grain for many years to come. Now, let's look at making right choices. Choices are personal but affect others. To make right choices, we must have the desires that are consistent with the heart of Christ. What motivates our decision? What thinking guides our action? If a person thinks, me first, he is a fool. If he thinks, how can anybody benefit, he is wise. Fools say, look out for the number one. Folly said, enjoy it now or someone else will when you're gone. Dull thinking claim, I have my rights. Do we view the world with the perspective there's not enough to go around or there will always be enough for everybody? If we knew God is the source of all good things, we would never feel disadvantaged. If we feel we must make our own way in life, we will always be grasped at the last bit of gold dust in desperation to be significant. Whether we make wise or foolish choices affects many more than ourselves. Foolish drivers injured and hurt people. Foolish parents make their children suffer. Proverbs 9:1 said, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Now let's look at wisdom makes systematic right choices. Let's take a look at that. A wise life operates on at least seven essential pillars of prudence: financial management, organization, preventative health care, time management, education, proper relation, and spiritual discipline. We will consider each of these in truth, in terms. While most believers will find some of these principles already at work in their lives, we all have to put effort into a few. Now, let's look at financial management. Now, a wise person is not cheap, but they're careful. Cheapness cheats. The cheap farmer may feed sawdust instead of oats, thinking that he has fooled the horse until it fall over dead. Rather than shortchange our lives with buying the cheapest item on the shelf, we should invest in good, durable items. The art of bargaining hunting bypasses the second grab, the see and grab, spending that people put in their poorhouse. Now, a wise shopper look for deals on secondhand durable items, which beat brand new junk. If a person expects to relocate in the next 5 years, it would make more financial sense to rent. Not closing costs, waste, no home repair paid for, no dependence on the market to be able to move. A high mile per gallon vehicle may not be the best idea if the owner is stuck with a huge monthly payment. A wise money manager builds up an account with emergency funds. A 3-month stash provides a buffer in case of emergency, of injury, or unemployment. After setting aside a sizable and reasonable amount of saving, a godly person should pay off debt. Paying for entertainment, events, or luxury could come after debts are paid off. People who spend money on things that generate income find that they have more money. Now, one cannot be wiser with money than to give generously, 9 and 10. A wise steward not only gives tithes to the local church but for the support of the ministry, but also give an additional amount to help provide for the upkeep and the advance of the church. In addition, a wise person avoids get-rich-quick schemes, which create more get-poor-quick people than anything else. Now, let's look at organization. Wise people control their environment. Clutter is an expensive management system. When we cannot find the item, you have to buy another one. On the floor, it gets broken or spoiled. Many people will not be late for church if they have put things away, children's clothes, special outfit, or other necessity. Teaching children to organize while they are yet young saves them many headaches later in life. Human nature hates restraint, but the Spirit leads us to live a life of order. God's Spirit moves on the face of the deep and brought order to that which was without form and void. The devil brings chaos. Even when a person claims to be led of the Spirit, that does not negate good planning. Being Spirit-led is not the same as being spontaneous and undisciplined. God leads us occasionally outside the norm, but generally he works within his discipline. Jesus and the apostle regularly went to the synagogue, which was their custom, on the first day of the week. The believer met together and brought their offering. These practices depict orderliness and organization. Organization props up wise as an essential pillar, for God creates the universe with order. Wisdom is how the planet and time itself operate. If we restrain order, resist order and systematization and self-discipline, we may be resisting wisdom. To bring order in our lives, we must learn the discipline of maintenance. Taking care of what we have, fixing a leaky radiator is a lot cheaper than replacing a blown engine. A new belt on the vacuum or fuse in the microwave beats the price of getting new units. A painted house resists rot. A patched roof protects the ceiling from unlike roof with messing the shingle or missing shingles. Now, let's look at preventative health. Now, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited. On the whole, we must recognize that being able to maintain good health care. God's people need to be modest in their eating as much as they are modest in their clothing and behavior. Healthy eating means much more than low calories or low fat. Healthy eating prioritizes fuel while consuming only a modest portion of starches and meat. One of the most dreadful health conditions today is lethargy. Exercise will not get us to heaven, but it will keep us alive long enough to make many good more days in our lives. As cars require maintenance, so it is better to maintain our health than to have to repair it. Health insurance is not health assurance. If we can prevent the problem by managing our eating and exercising properly, we are being far better stewards. So let's look at our schedule as well. These are things where that we can be well-rounded in wisdom, making wise choices in our finance, making wise choices in organizing ourselves, making wise choice in even being preventative in our preventative health care as well, eating healthy, looking at what we need to do, what do our body really needs, and start eating those things that's going to strengthen us, doing exercise to increase our stamina so that we can be healthy men and women of God. Now let's look at our schedule. If a person fails to plan, he simply plans to fail. The all-wise God wants us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Wisdom takes stock of the day and makes the most of it. We shape our destiny by the hour. The book of Job introduces us to the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. Job lived a discipline of raising early in the morning to call on the name of the Lord. No schedule or calendar will stand if God does not come first in it. The idea of sleeping in has negative perception in the scripture. As the door turneth upon the hedges, so does the slothful upon his bed. Do not pick from the tree without planting one. We must plan ahead for the next year, 5 years, 10 years. What is the legacy we intended for our family for the next generation? Will our grandchildren grow up in poverty? Will our great-grandchildren ever see the inside of the church? What we do today can influence these things for the century if the Lord tarry. Now, goal setting should not cause us to worry about tomorrow's trouble, but simply to plan as best as we can in our limited knowledge of the unexpected. Goals have legs where dreams have only pillows. Now, further, we should reduce long-term goals to a series of smaller, attainable steps. Enjoying the fruit of our labor today should remind us to prepare for our future with further productivity as well. Let's look at education. Wise men will lay up knowledge. We should continually grow mentally and intellectually. A high school diploma or college degree does not exempt us from utilizing the library, online resources. We should learn more about things that interest us. One man who worked at an auto parts store used to take the part manual home and memorize common parts numbers to be more efficient in his job. A lady who gardened for years began reading books at the local library and found creative ways to raise a magnificent garden? Do we have 20 years of experience or just 1 year experience repeated 20 times? Now, for knowledge and seeking her as silver and hidden treasure, this is especially true when it comes to the Word of God. Just because we memorize John 3:5 and Acts 2:38 does not mean we should close the Bible. We must continually probe over the Scripture so that they inform and transform us into the image of God. Good Bible teaching and preaching do not exempt us from studying the Word of God for ourselves. Moses may have introduced the people to manna from heaven, but they had to go out and gather it themselves. Our children also need the golden education. Getting them through school does not mean that they know everything that they need to know. Paul commended Timothy that he had known the Scripture from childhood. Further, an often overlooked part of education is skill development. Seeketh thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before king. The Hebrew word for wisdom is also the word for skill. A wise person is a skilled person. More than just for filling our heads with information, we should develop skill in keeping with our daily life. Few occupations are skill-free. And accountant must be skilled at using spreadsheets. A secretary must be skilled at typing. Police must be skilled at doing their job. A minister must be skilled in the Word of God skillfully. It is interesting to note that businesses pay the educated employee more, but they also replace them more easily. Often when a company cuts back, the last to go are the ones with practical knowledge and skill to keep the core operation running. Now, proper relationship. The golden rule, give proper spacing and alignment to other pillars of wisdom. If we have wrong perspective about our interaction with other people, they will shrew the other's discipline. First, we must love others just as we love ourselves. We must also grow to esteem others more than ourselves. Wisdom honors those in authority and those who have proven themselves wise. The humble person seek out men and women from whom to glean information to assist in making his or her own decision. This is not to say that all wise people will give the same counsel. While we pray and study God's word, he can use others to confirm to us his plan in our life. It is not wise to seek counsel from people who agree with the way we are going to do it anyway. Good counsel may frustrate us because it sounds difficult. Good counsel taken, on the other hand, pleases us in the end result. When our pastor counseled us against co-signing a note to help out a person with bad credit, we initially may be frustrated, but years down the road, you may learn that advice. Arrogant people plow through life thinking that they have all the answers. They often look back and say, I've learned from my own mistake. This wise generally do not learn from their own mistake, though. They learn from the mistakes of others. Just as the blacksmith passes on his trade to the apprentice, so does the wise individual pass on his wisdom to those eager to learn. Even Solomon did not invent wisdom, but credited his father and mother for teaching him the ways of good judgment. Now let's look at spiritual discipline. A person can have all the above quality but not have this last pillar is to weaken, eventually implode the whole building of wisdom. First, we must enter the salvation covenant by faith, repentance from sin, water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And also as believers, we need to develop a daily prayer life, a time in the Word that will make him wise, one wise. More than just a routine religion, we must learn to recognize the voice of the Master, which is our Lord and Savior. Wisdom, spiritual wisdom, does not come just in prayer closet. As we follow the guidance of on our daily basis, our life will take on dimensions beyond the scope of ordinary living because we're tapping into God's godly wisdom, as well as to seek out godly wisdom is very key and critical, because that God has hidden wisdom. And the more that we seek God, the more that he will reveal unto us that hidden wisdom and knowledge. And it's all about yielding ourselves over unto the things of God, gaining the knowledge, gaining the discipline, financial discipline, organizing, preventative health care, scheduling ourselves, educating, and things. These all are very, very critical things that we need, having proper relationship with one another and things, and spiritual discipline, living holy and upright before the Lord. We should seek after wisdom and love it. We need to seek it in our prayers, in our studies, in our daily habit, our checkbook, our friendship, and our planning. If we do not master our money, it will master us. Do not master our living space, they will master us. If we do not develop strong friendship, our relationship could destroy us. When we lay hold of wisdom and everyday practical concepts, our spontaneous decision will tend towards maturity and healthy choice. While we learn from Rehoboam the dire consequences of foolish choices, we also should learn from Solomon that even wisdom, the wisest person, can let a little folly destroy all the good that he had once attained. Wise priority get rewarded. Our self-discipline should never get in the way of what is truly important, as did for Martha when Jesus was at her house. Let us not get caught up in life's worries that we receive the rebuke of the Master. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But let us pursue his approval. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, Luke 10:42. Wisdom help us to prioritize life. Certainly wisdom say not to pass up a sound investment opportunity, but wisdom also say grocery comes first. Before that, one must give the Lord his portion. Preparing the church dinner is important, but not more so than being in worship service. Wisdom knows the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and therefore make provision for making systematic, wise choice in the little things so that big choices are no big deal. Fortunately, we do not rely on just learned wisdom or practical advice, for we speak not the wisdom of this world nor of the prince of this world, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, pertaining to the things the eyes cannot perceive nor the mind learn, even the wisdom, hidden wisdom, which the natural man cannot discern, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:6-7, verse 10. I come to tell you, child of God, that wisdom is the principal thing. Wise, a wealth of wise choices is always the greatest blessing that you can have here down on this earth, being able to understand that you have to make wise choices in the seven pillars that we talked about that needs to be, that have been hewn out, the pillar of financial management, the pillar of organization, the pillar of preventative health, the pillar of scheduling, organizing, planning, the pillar of educating, the pillar even of proper relationship, and the most prominent pillar is the pillar of having a spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and living your life within the spiritual discipline are very critical for us as the people and the children of God. I come to tell you, child of God, amen, there is wealth in your choices. Make the wise choice. Seek the heart and mind of God. Organize and master your money, and don't let your money master you. seek out what you need to stop eating so that it won't destroy your body. Organize your home. Organize your room so that you're able to get a hold of things in a split second or minute, knowing how to put your hands on. Take time to invest back in that seven pillars where wisdom have hewn out in her house. Go back and begin to include those in your life, the seven pillars that wisdom have hewn out. May God bless you. I pray that this was helpful and gave you a little revelation and a better understanding of some things that maybe you need to give more attention to as opposed to walking past those things that are falling in your life, financial management, organizing yourself, planning out, get you a plan, your relationships, your health-wise, spending a few moments of time into improving your health, your education, learning more, and things that you can be better at what you do and what God has given you to do. So I pray that as you move forward, you'll move forward and begin to look at all of these aspects of your life and spend time, quality time, in building those areas. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your people, even to pray for them, Lord, and even for the wealth of our choice is where we will be tremendously blessed. Help us to make wise choices. Let us not be like Rehoboam, who was not able to go to his peers because he chose not to go to his elders to get the right perspective, but he chose to go to his peers. Lord, let us, Lord, honor our elders. Let us honor those that have gone before us, Lord, and our leaders, dear God, that we can glean from the wisdom and attain, Lord, the blessings of the Lord that will make us rich and add no sorrow. And Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Well, child of God, I pray that you was blessed with this lesson today and that you was able to grasp a hold of the seven pillars that wisdom have hewn out, and that you would get a plan when you leave from this here broadcast, that you will go back and begin to say, let me get a plan and write down those seven pillars and begin to say, how can I begin to operate my life daily within those seven pillars that that wisdom have hewn out, and that my life can move forward in the true blessings of the Lord because you're maintaining and you're operating in spiritual disciplines and educating yourself as well as organizing yourself in all of the 70 pillars are being blessed and ministered to and invested in your life so that you can see measurable change in your life. And so we pray that you've been blessed. Encourage someone to come and listen to this wonderful lessons that God has given unto us, as well as interviews that we'll be having that will be coming up. And if you get an opportunity, go over to my website, HelenOrm.com, DrHelenOrm.com, or meet me on or see me on Facebook at Helen Orm. On the Facebook, I would love for you to be a partner or a friend to be on my page. We also put a lot of great inspirational things to encourage and to empower the people of God. I pray that you will be blessed beyond measure and that the blessings of the Lord will continue to make you rich and add absolutely no sorrow. Until we meet again, encourage someone, invite someone to tune in to home. And as I always would say, that if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Until we meet again, I pray that there will be a no sorrow blessing that will come to your house. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you. Here's my prayer. Bye-bye.